Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hi, everybody. This is a special program that we're doing right here from WAVA here in Washington, D.C. So, and we've got some great supporters that are with us here at the studio. And Tom Moyer has let us come in and invade his space, and we appreciate that. And if somebody wants to join us, they could actually call 1-800-229-3000. Joining me is the person that does a lot of stuff I get credit for, Becky Brown.
Hey, Becky. Hello, Steve. It's always fun to be on the program, and it's so great to be here in D.C.
It is, yeah.
It's a great town.
And I always think about, you know, if WAVA wasn't here, just think of how what trouble this
mess.
Country would be in.
It would be a mess. Be
I mean, they're holding back evil.
I know. We thank God for WAVA. You know, we really do.
And I love Christian radio because a lot of people that probably say a lot of stuff publicly, in the privacy of their car, they listen to a Christian message and they hear things that matter to them. Maybe they'd never talk about it. And that's one of the things about radio. It's so intimate, just you and in your car, in your little setting there. And so I think it's a powerful, powerful tool. And everybody has always talked about radio going away.
But, yeah.
You know, when TV came out, they go, well, no one's ever going to listen to radio
right.
again.
But nothing. It's such a personal medium. Like yeah. you just said, you're in the car, you're listening, but also we get the opportunity to hear from so many people who are struggling, and it may help you realize you're not the only one. And when we're listening on New Life Live, obviously we're making changes in our lives because we hear what the hosts say to the callers, and we learn, and we make changes, hopefully.
I will tell you this. We actually have had many people from this city, because our audience is so big here on WAVA, come to our workshops. And always think, you know, every time some politician or a lobbyist or somebody comes and we get to help them, that we're actually having an impact on the nation. In fact, you know, 1,623 people in 2018, 1,623 people came to one of our weekends.
That's amazing.
And a lot of people think, what is that? That must be a workshop or something. But they don't understand that we bring in therapists from all over the country, and they do the work that they can do with folks from a Friday to a Sunday.
I've had the privilege of being part of those weekends since 2003 and have had a front row seat to see the changes that people have made.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do. Mm-hmm. I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm just going to come and listen. They're really going to do some work. They're going to be in a group with a network therapist that's going to help them really work on what is happening.
Yeah. Now, can I take a phone call? Or can't take a phone call. Well, I'm wondering if anybody here might have a question. Larry Sonnenberg's got the microphone. Larry, why don't you say hi?
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, good to talk to you. How you doing?
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Great group with us.
So we do.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I always love being with our supporters because if they didn't support us, I'd be
in trouble.
Waiting table. So really glad that they're here, and maybe they don't have a question. But you know what? Do we have to go to a break or anything? Can we just keep talking? Just came back from a break while I was talking there. Okay, perfect. Just let me know. I know, yeah, a lot of value there. But you connect with that person because they've gone to the trouble. Here's what they say. They say, I am gay. What am I supposed to do biblically? Well, I got to tell you, I was just talking literally with the head of a denomination whose son is an extremely godly man. And he made some attempts at relationships in his later 20s. And nothing seemed to work. And he sat down with his father and he said, Dad, you know that I'm a believer. Yeah. And he said, and you know I'm not just a believer in Jesus, I'm a believer in what the Bible says. Teaches. I'm a believer in truth. So he said, Dad, here's what I've decided I'm going to do. I am not attracted to women at all. He said, in fact, I think someone might say I was gay, but a lot of times that means that you're involved in homosexual behavior. He said, Dad, I'm not. And he said, I'm not going to. He said, I really believe if I believe the Bible to be true, a lot of people struggle with different proclivities. Someone might be attracted to children for whatever reason. Some kind of abuse might have occurred. But that doesn't mean because you're attracted to children that you should fulfill that desire. He said some people might be attracted to crack cocaine. That doesn't mean you need to fulfill it. And so he said to his father, I don't want you to worry about me. I'm not going to develop, I'm not going to enhance or entice or anything these desires. I'm not going to be looking at pornography, that's homosexual pornography. I'm just going to be a celibate guy serving God who is not going to be able to give you grandkids. And I think that I actually know this young man. I know his father. And I think, you know, if the question that they wrote down here, what am I supposed to do biblically? I think that is the answer of what you're supposed to do biblically. It's not exactly the same, but I'd say a lot of people would be attracted to somebody they're not married to, and they're married. And you wouldn't say to that person, well, you know, if you have this attraction, you should go with that. You should fulfill that. No. Part of being an adult is restraint. Mm-hmm. And part of serving God is doing what will make you happy 1,000 years from now.
Right.
Not 1,000 seconds.
And it's such a hard discussion to have because so many people are so certain and they can't discuss it. Just
right.
Like what you just talked about.
Right.
You know, that the son went to his dad and had a conversation. And I think the hard part is that we do know what the Word has told us about a life that honors Christ. And as you said, Steve, I can't add to it too much except for that.
You don't need to. You're so good.
It's a difficult conversation, but there's so many people that have loved ones that struggle with this, and so many of them have cut them off.
Yeah.
Because they're so sure that they can't love them
right. If
this is the way that they're going to live their life. And, you know, that's...
Well, also, anytime somebody has an opinion that says you shouldn't just go ahead and be gay, then the next statement is, well, then you're just homophobic or you hate gay people.
Right.
Well, I thought about this for more than 5 minutes, and I have two brothers. Mm-hmm. One is dead from AIDS. Both brothers were gay. Mm-hmm. The only difference, well, there are a lot of differences. I'm really funnier than they are. But the only difference is both of my brothers were molested by the pastor's son. And by the time I would have been a target, we had moved to a different town. And I have watched my oldest brother, my middle brother, died of AIDS early on during the AIDS crisis. And I loved them, mm-hmm. and I care deeply about them. So I'm just saying, you either do the right thing that's very, very difficult, or you do what the world tells you. And I got to tell you, and if you look at Galatians 4, Paul talks about the basic spiritual principles of the world. He mentions it twice there. He mentions it in Romans. What are the spiritual principles of the world?
Right.
It's the common sense stuff that everybody thinks is so right, but it's absolutely goes against everything that God tells us to do. So I think we're going to go to a break, right? Or are we in the break? Or did you guys, you're just kind of having your own show there, and I'm talking, and... Eight more minutes before a break. All right. Well, let's go to a question here live and in color right here in the WAVA studio. Hi.
Hi.
Tell everybody who you are and how much. Then the obvious blatant narcissism that you see at the world. Because, first of all, that person might be, like you say, a preacher running a church. And people are following that person. And they can't live. You mean, the Bible's so clear. It says, you know, they put these burdens on folks. And they don't help them lift the burden that they put on them. And it's very tragic when a person is in a legalistic church. But I think it's one of the more subtle forms of narcissism that is so destructive to so many. Because here's how you please God. It's Jesus and nothing you do for salvation. But if you truly understand what Jesus did, then you're so grateful you want to do things versus I got to do things to earn favor from God. Totally opposite.
Well, and let me say one more thing.
Yeah.
It is that in those relationships, people with narcissism are very powerful. You not fall prey to being the audience all the time. You know, it is subtle, and especially going back to, you know, if somebody's doing a really good thing, they might be a pastor, they might, you know, you have a brain, and you can develop that so that what's not okay stays not okay, that you know how to ask for help. Because a lot of times in those relationships, they will criticize you or cut you down if you think something different than what they think.
Cut you off.
Yeah.
You're done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you cutting me off now?
No. Okay. I'm just – no, Becky, it's good. But you don't tell the emperor he has no clothes.
Exactly.
Because the emperor says you go yes. be with some other emperor.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's the hardest part about those relationships is that the person, not the narcissist, but the person who's in relationship becomes smaller and smaller yeah. and smaller. And, you know, when I think about the people that we see in the public that become that way, their lives could have been saved, literally, if they would have listened to those around them.
Yeah.
And we've right. seen so many people that just don't listen.
Well, great example of that is Elvis Presley dies. He was constipated from so much of the opioids.
Well, Michael Jackson, Whitney yeah. Houston. I mean, there's countless people.
But when you talk to the people that were there, they said, oh, sure, I could have said something to him. Wouldn't have mattered,
right.
but I would have never, ever been on that bus again.
Right.
And that's the way it is. Janet Jackson talks about trying to get to Michael and people around him preventing that from happening. Maybe you want to share with them what it's like to work with a leader who's not a narcissist.
Go I don't ahead. Know. I don't know if we want
yeah.
to talk about Larry right now.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
You know.
All right. Yeah. That's good. All right. So we'll probably go to a break here. If you need some help, we've got people, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You call, ask about that wonderful, amazing June 28th. Marriage intensive that's going to be right here. We would love for you to come and join us. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realized that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yeah.
Okay, hey.
Okay, we're back, and we're here in live in the studio, WAVA.
And the crowd is wild.
Yeah, the mics are pretty hot here. Anyway, if you're riding around, I want to mention something to you, that you could help us stay on the air here on WAVA by joining Club New Life for $30 a month. You become part of the foundation of New Life. And Larry, how many people have signed up this month for Club
this
New Life?
This month, like 125.
Yeah, 125. Yeah, you could be 126.
Exactly.
And here's what we do to say thank you. We send you 8 books that are the best of the best of the books. There's How We Love by Madeline Kay. Of course, Boundaries, Need That. Healing is a Choice. Every Man's Battle. Secrets Women Keep. Forgiving What You Never Forget. And then Changes That Heal.
And Intimate Deception.
Yeah. So all of those, just our way of saying thank you. Now, if you're a member of Club New Life, you add $10 to that, we'll send it to you also. It's a $129, which is very close to $130.
It is.
$129 value. We send that to say thank you. And then also, whenever there's a matching fund, we're gonna help with that too. We'll tell you more about that down the road. But let's talk to Sandra. She's here in the WAVA studio with us, and she's got a question. Yeah.
Hi, Steve and Becky.
Hey.
Hi, Sandra.
I feel a little embarrassed to ask my question.
Okay.
So I'm going to say hypothetically that I know some adult parents,
yes,
or mm-hmm, some parents of an adult child, and these adult parents gave some money to their daughter.
Mm.
For mental health purposes.
Okay.
Because they really wanted to be supportive of her.
Right.
And now this daughter is spending money like there's no tomorrow.
Mm.
And we're not sure if she is using the money for counselors, psychiatrists, medication.
Mm-hmm.
We know the parents want to preserve that relationship with their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, one parent feels like they should ask for some of that money back, and the other parent is very hesitant too.
Okay.
So I have a quick response to that.
Yes.
We don't give away something that we're expecting back. And it's a hard thing, especially when you're talking about the situation that you're describing, that the intention was great. We want to help. We want to give. But then the resentment starts to grow when you're not seeing what you were providing for being used in that way. And, you know, Sandra, you're not the only person, you're not the only parent that has ever had this experience, or your friend isn't the only friend that has ever had that experience. I just think it's a challenging thing, but the gift to intentionally help is really incredible. The hard part is when it stops. For whatever reason.
And Larry and Rhonda, Becky and I had breakfast together, And I think you'd have to say this was kind of the heart of our conversation over breakfast. Yep. So I say that to say you're not alone. It's one of the most common dilemmas parenting the adult child.
Which we're not supposed to be parenting, right. But how do you manage those adult relationships, especially when they're not making choices that reflect how you right. thought you raised them, or even in situations where you're trying to help them and support them?
So I have three magic words. One's a contraction that I think is the beginning of kind of resolving this. And I totally agree what Becky's saying about you shouldn't ask for the money back. If money's gone out and it's wasted, then let that go. But here are the three magic words. How's it going? And that leads to a discussion about, hey, you know, we helped you, we gave you some funds, wanted you to get some help here. So how's it going? What's happening there? And because they did accept the money, you are entitled to say, how's it going? Are you seeing anybody? Is it working or not? How do you feel? Did they put you on medication? Oh, they did. Are you still taking? Oh, you're not. Wow. Okay. And to get an update, then you can accurately decide from there, well, what do we do? Do we encourage? Do we volunteer to come down and go to meetings with you? Or do we help you find another counselor? Maybe would be better, whatever. But I think giving you the money does not entitle you to control the person or to take the money back. But it entitles you to say, how's it going, and try to help them solve them, especially if you see. And then here's the other thing. You also are entitled, and this is kind of an intervention, a small, simple intervention. Here's what I used to see, and here's what I'm seeing now. And I'm just wondering what you think has caused the difference. There was a time when you were a penny pincher. You didn't, you know, and now it's, I saw the car, the boat, and all this. What do you think has made the difference? And so, you know, you're pointing out something. And throughout it, you're saying, you know, I really care about you. And not one ounce of a desire to control the person. You're showing care, concern, observations, and you're just asking how
and,
it's going.
And that's your work. Your work is to turn your control meter down. And I think for the conversation that we were having this morning, that's the shift, is like you don't have control, but you can help. You can check in. You can stay connected to them. That's where your greatest influence is going to be.
Yeah. And, you know, sadly, you tell somebody you want to help them and they go get some help. And the help really isn't very good sometimes. And so then you're encouraging them to do what they do if they took their car to a mechanic and they didn't fix it. You take it to another mechanic. And so you want to encourage them to continue the search. All right, so we'll go to a break now, is that right? Go to a break, we'll come right back, and hope and pray that if you have a problem, no matter what it is, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Sandra, for that. I think there are a lot of people listening that know.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to
fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Steve Hardiman here with Becky Brown. We are broadcasting live from the studio here in Washington, D.C., WAVA. And we do have the marriage conference coming here, but on June 7th, we're doing Every Man's Battle over there in Cincinnati, not too far away from here. And I was just reading a story from a guy that went to Every Man's Battle. And at the worst part of his journey, he had three failed marriages. His son was just so angry. And he was, he was drinking just to cope with life. And then we asked, well, what's it like for you now after you've been? And I think this was a few years ago. He says he continues to read the Bible. He loves his wife. He loves God. He actually is more loving of himself. He is in a Christian marriage. He's continuing to heal emotionally, and so he's saying, you know, you got to do this.
You know, a lot of times too, Steve, a lot of people expect instantaneous, complete restoration.
Right.
And what we want to say over and over again, recovery is a lifetime journey.
It is.
It will take the rest of your life to experience rest in your life. That you will become clearer and more at peace. You'll be able to have better relationships. Mm-hmm. Your thinking is going to change, which is what New Life is all about. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2 is right. What we talk about all the time, being transformed. But it is you got to start somewhere.
You do.
So it may be Every Man's Battle next week. And for somebody who's listening today, call.
Yep. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's pretty simple. Now, before we go to our questioner here, we had a person that the screener said that here was their question. We can't go to live calls right now. But they said, when a woman is not willing to have sex with her husband, she sets the husband up to have an affair. Why don't you ever talk about that? Well, ironically, on Wednesday, we had Sherry and we had Alice, and they were talking about this very thing. They were saying to women, I mean, they were saying it, this is really part of marriage. You really do need to find a way to be intimate in your marriage. And if you're unable to do that, then you need to do whatever. Find the help to bring you to that place where, once again, what brought you together can bring you together again. What are your thoughts there, Becky?
Well, that caller in particular was a male. So there's a question in that question of, is what I'm doing okay? And the answer would be no, because, you know.
Oh, he was going to divorce over this, and we said no.
Right. Yeah. And so the bigger question, you're right, intimacy is a part of marriage. And if your physically intimate part of your marriage isn't happening or there's problems with it, that's like a barometer.
Yeah.
So it's not, but it's not an excuse for anybody right. to do anything outside of marriage. And I think so many times it's like, mm-hmm. well, because he or she doesn't yeah. this or that, then
right.
we're done.
And because I knew my wife was listening, I was the one that said, hey, more bad sexual experiences doesn't help the sexual intimacy there. And she
right.
really appreciated me saying that.
That's right.
And, but it's true.
Yes.
And here's what I like to say to guys. If all you've got is a verse, you know, if that's all you've mm-hmm. got, hey, honey, it's in the Bible, you need to
yeah.
do that. You need to change your...
You just got a sign that says, don't ask yeah. me to be connected
right.
to you. You just do what I want
yes.
you to do. That's
so,
the...
but the point is, get help.
Right.
And no, this isn't going to be solved quickly. But it can be solved.
Well, the other part, the sexual part of marriage is not separate from the relational, the emotional, the spiritual. It is not like this part over here. Yeah. It's all integrated, which is what we talk about at the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. Right. I know we don't want to always say that, but it is. That's why we created it.
I think it's good that you say it.
Because I think sometimes people have a struggle in one area of their life. It could be that you're married to someone who doesn't share your faith. And then everything about the marriage becomes because they don't share my faith.
Right. Don't let this, whatever it is, be the source of conflict over and over again.
You know, it's interesting, side note. It's interesting because before you're married, you will go through anything to find and connect with that person. And, you know, people might outline, oh, you know, they might be an axe murderer. No, they can't be an axe murderer.
Beautiful.
They're so nice, you know. Yeah. And yet then they get married. And what is it that you say, Steve? There's something in the wedding cake.
Yeah.
And then everything changes. And then
that
all of a sudden.
Ugly foot.
Yeah, the ugly foot comes out.
All right. Okay, let's talk to Charlie. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Did you give me some money? Is that why you're asking?
I did.
Yeah. I'm Charlie. I'm recently retired, living in Signal Mountain, Tennessee, and I've been a long-term member of the New Life family. I've gone to Greece.
You have, yeah.
Israel, done Every Man's Battle.
I feel like we've raised you, Charlie.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, so, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I'm long-term in recovery. So my question has to do, and I think you pretty much touched on it going into this, is that, you know, I'm divorced. I had married a woman we were differently yoked. She tried the Christian thing. She prayed the prayer, but said, hey, it's just not working. Mm. And eventually we went through and got a divorce. But now we're good friends because we were able, through the steps of recovery, to patch that up. And we had a couple of kids, and we've raised them. All good. So my question has to do with relationships, and you touched on that. And it seems to be a common thread that most relationships have to go through a death in the relationship, death of the marriage.
Yeah.
It's kind of like dying to oneself, you're reborn and reawakened. And I've had a couple of relationships with good Christian women that, you know, we got to that point, we had to, you know, it wasn't an axe murder, but something that, you know, love was blind. You know, you knew there was people say, hey, you might want to really slow down or take it easy or do this. Oh, no, it's not. It's going to be different this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question is, how do you recognize that little voice within you that God's kind of knocking on the door, or your friends are trying to tell you, hey, maybe this isn't the best thing since sliced bread, when love is blinding you?
Yeah.
And how do you go through that death of the marriage?
So I want to say something before you answer that. So there's another version of that that happens too. When you've been through divorce or when you've been through a broken relationship, the voice starts to say, you can't be in relationship again. Mm. So it's the opposite, but here's the thing. You have to be in relationship with other people who know you, like you want to be known, you know, that can speak into your life. And this kind of goes all the way back to the narcissism question. You've got to be open to have people say to you, they're carrying an axe around in their purse. You might need to, like, you know, set some boundaries there. Mm-hmm. But I just think, whenever we're looking into a new relationship, it can't just be what your thought is, because you can make it work no matter what until it doesn't work anymore.
Right. Well, for God to put male and female together, which it's almost like we're from different phylum, we're so different. There's this romance. And most attraction in the beginning is actually a physical, or you could say a sexual attraction. So first of all, you got to recognize, wow, I'm energized here, would be a way to say it, and I need to be careful. So here's what I think. I wish everybody would do this. Ask the person why the last relationship or two didn't work out. Do they know? Do they blame the other person? Do they know what their part is in? Maybe not the divorce, maybe you didn't cause the divorce, but they know what their contribution to the difficulty or the conflict was. Then, if you really are determined to marry that person a few months later, then I think you ought to ask the person they were in that relationship with what happened to the relationship. And I think there should be a freedom. Now, you know that may be tainted information, but wouldn't it be great if you knew, and see if there's consistency there. But here's the bottom line. Don't ever move forward without being sure you have a premarital therapist, not a pastor. I mean, premarital counseling with a pastor is a good thing, but when you've got a history, you know, and you're older, you really need a therapist, that, and you give them permission to say, this is not going to work. And if you had good friends giving you the input, like you're talking about, hey, this doesn't look good, if you did the research, ask them why it didn't work, what they learned from those relationships, is that consistent? And then you've got a really good therapist to get, because you need, I mean, I go to marriage counseling every week to have the best marriage I can have. And a lot of people will never have a very good marriage because they won't go to counseling. Why not do it before? 12 sessions, and you're saying, help us to know what are the problems we're going to deal with when we get married, and secondly, should we get married, and how could we make this work the best?
And if that person says no, there's your answer.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, raise that bar right from the beginning that you want this to be a great thing.
Number one trait of a person you want to marry is this, willingness. And boy, when I hear somebody say they knew somebody was not willing to do something, boy, that's not willing to go to church, not willing to get help, not willing to have people over. Well, right there it ought to die. Jordan.
She said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and this is a very special program just for you wonderful WAVA listeners here. And at the break, Becky was reminding me of something I mentioned in devotions. You know, if you look at our tree, our logo, in the middle is a brain, and that's based on the scripture in Romans 12:2 that if we want to transform our lives, we have to change the way you think, start to think like Christ, not in your own thinking. And when we talk about transformation, that, you know, we've got three words: redemptive relationship or connection and truth, and then transformation. And this person said, you transform my life. We think of somebody that was a sex addict, now he's recovering, or alcoholic. But here's the transformation she shared. She said, I viewed all of these people, older people struggling with different things, with contempt, anger, irritation, inconvenience. And she said, I heard on New Life that I need to look at them in a different way and approach them with, radical thought here, love.
Amazing.
I need to love them. Mm-hmm. And she said it totally changed her outlook on some of the specific problems, like Alzheimer's, and the struggles that they were with. And I think that's as big a victory
Huge.
As somebody who now is saying, okay, I'm not going to look at pornography anymore. All right, we have one more question. Here we go. And it is, hi.
Hi, I'm Haley.
Yeah, sorry about your ankle.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. I'm Haley, and my husband and I are longtime listeners of New Life and supporters.
Thank you, Haley.
Appreciate that.
And I wanted to ask, we had a painful family situation happen last Thanksgiving. And it was in our home, and we addressed it. But I find that I carry a heaviness about it. And
can you tell us just in a little bit what happened or the kind of thing it was? Was it an argument or what?
We don't serve alcohol in our home. We haven't done that for a handful of years or more. And family members are resistant to that. Each year we kind of newly have to remind them. And
mm-hmm. Not a mystery, though. That's not something that all of a sudden you are springing on them this past Thanksgiving. They knew that.
Yes, yeah. They knew it ahead of time. We addressed it proactively.
Yeah. And it's your house.
Yeah. And it's our home. And they brought alcohol and were drinking it out of the car in a secretive way.
Yeah.
And so I was finding this out real time while I'm making the Thanksgiving meal.
Right.
And even found out that it was done the year before as well, and addressed it. And we were met with defiance and anger and injustice and surprise. And
well, let me ask you a quick question: was this one person, or were several of the folks joined together in the car?
Several.
And I mean, that's just such a radical thing to do. It makes me believe that alcohol is extremely important to them. And so I'm wondering if there are any other signs or symptoms that they might actually have a problem with alcohol.
Well, actually, I was thinking, as you're telling that, they might have a problem if you're hiding it. I mean, that's one of the telltale signs.
But is there, or is this, I mean, do you think they might have somebody might have a problem here? It's such a big deal to them.
Possibly, but that was not a welcome concern or thought. They were very defended.
Because, see, if they have an addiction, and that would be a sign of the addiction, then you might see them with more compassion because they are driven by the chemical rather than they're just trying to be mean to you. Some of the other people you might be more upset with, but I'll bet somebody's driving this that has a problem with alcohol because, you know, if you were a vegetarian and they came over and they were eating a steak in the car, you would say, that is really weird that they couldn't go one meal without having red meat.
And actually, I was thinking that same thing. Yeah. You know,
because we think a lot.
that's scary.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's sad. Yeah. That's what I think. And I'm sad for you to still feel that burden. But I do think the bigger picture is it's not a question as if they have a problem. They have a problem. Because if they didn't, they would be able to go without it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't hide it. They wouldn't be defended when you expressed your disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be a conversation about it. You know, what it might look like differently is, let's say, same scenario, and they say, you know, we like to drink with our meal. And you say, well, you know, in our home, we don't use alcohol. So if you could just not do that for this meal, we'd just appreciate that. Then they can decide if they want to come to the meal or not. There's that. But by hiding it, what they're telling you is, first of all, I can't be upfront with who I am. I can't even be present with who I am, especially when it comes to drinking. And, like, are they 15? Because, like, that's what, well, anyway.
Well, speaking of 15, we have a 10 and a 12-year-old. And our constant message to them is you've got stuff and you've got relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff must never be more important than relationship.
Right.
And essentially, whether it's being on the internet or screens, but for them to make alcohol one meal a year, 365 days, one day Go to your place. Hey, why wouldn't you, if it wasn't that big a deal, have a nice lunch? And everybody that likes to drink, meet at the local bar, and we all have cocktails and talk about Thanksgiving. But I think you got a problem with alcohol there, and I would really do everything possible to help with that problem.
I wonder,
I would say to them, here's what is glaring to us. There has to be a problem.
So I wonder, for you to hear that, what is your response to that? That it's not.
Well, that's what we've been discussing, and I think you're right on. My burden is having that compassion.
Yeah, it would be normal for you to want to stick with your anger and
yes.
and it, because
you're offended.
Such,
yeah.
Well, it's such a nice day,
yeah.
and they're out back.
Yeah.
A nice meal. You did all this, and so I would question whether or not Thanksgiving ought to be at your place next year.
Well, the other part, too, I would step into... I get 2 minutes or 1 minute?
Well, you got 1 minute.
Okay, so I'll do it real short. Okay. But I'm just saying, if you can step into that detached mode and look at it from, they are suffering with something, mm-hmm. and this is the way I discovered it. And then you become more informed about what this means, because it doesn't really matter what they're going to say to you at this point, because, you know, I doubt that they're drinking in their cars. If they are drinking in their cars other than Thanksgiving, then there really is a big problem. Mm-hmm. But I just think if you can move into that, the compassion will come eventually, but I don't even know if compassion is where you need to be at this point, as far as, like, they're not asking for anything except for to be able to drink at Thanksgiving, right? Like, they want you to be okay with whatever they want to do. And you don't have to. It's okay.
All right. Hope that's helpful.
Yes, thank you.
And, really, really tough. I'm going to send you a Take Your Life Back. You may have read it. Probably have read it. Maybe you give one to them, one of the fringe people that might not have the severe problem there. But somebody's got a problem with it. All right. Well, we are... Tom Moy, thank you so much for letting us come be here at WAVA. Thanks for our folks that are joining us here. And we just want to invite all of you. You know, again, we've got a workshop coming here. It's our Marriage Intensive, the 28th in your area. Come join us for that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to sign up if you have financial problems. We usually have some kind of scholarship help available. If you join Club New Life, we give you 8 books, the best of the best, $30 a month. It is the foundation of all that we do here. And we really are grateful to all those folks that support us. We just couldn't do this without you. And hope and pray that anybody that is a supporter of New Life, that you feel appreciated, because we are so grateful.
And I also want to remind everybody that's listening, you know, we listen because we're learning. We're hearing what people are struggling with, and then we're going to hear something from the answer. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have lots of resources that can help you.
That's right. Thank you, Becky Brown, and thanks to all of you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.